The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. This is the Empowerment Hour. And this is a unique program because we have a chance to put everything in perspective for the year that's just passed and looking forward to the year ahead. On one hand, we have never been faced in my lifetime with so much control by so few people, such a disparity in the wealth distribution between the rich and the poor and the middle class, and so little community action, so little pushback, so few voices raised. The good news is that about 5 to 7% of the American population are not just independent-minded, but also progressive, seeking positive solutions. That may not sound like a lot, but try getting 21 million people together and you can make major change. And I believe that we will see major change, but not for everyone, and certainly not in a timely manner. I'll get with all that a little later. But I'm saving the major commentaries for this Sunday night show at 8 p.m. It's only over the internet. So at 8 o'clock Sunday evening, if you have nothing else to do, go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. If you forget ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, just go to GaryKnoll.com and there's a link. And I'll be talking about progressive agenda for the new year. Then next week, some real heavy hitters. We're going to lay out what some of the finest minds in the world see for the coming year. Gerald Celante on Monday. Going to look at what you can anticipate. Mike Adams at 3 o'clock. Jim Garrison, president of the State of the World Forum, previously the Gorbachev Foundation, and president of Wisdom University. He's going to explore trends in America's cultural and spiritual areas and why we're in such decline. Yesterday I had Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, who is quite simply one of the most progressive thinkers. Imagine coming from Ronald Reagan's inner sanctum to being one of its strongest critics. He believes we're headed towards a totalitarian state, and nothing will change that. People will adapt, but it won't change. Then Professor Robert Auerbach, distinguished professor of economics, University of Texas, and a former FDA investigator, will return to continue the discussion on the Federal Reserve and Obama's economic policies. So these are the areas that we're going to explore beginning on Monday. Today, time permitting, I will give you who I believe should be 2010's person of the year. Time magazine, well, Time thought it was the guy who invented Facebook, a very narcissistic, selfish individual with virtually no compassion for the poor, just a pure money machine. Not unlike so many of the best and brightest in his group of Harvard, Yale. Detached from the reality that the rest of us have to exist in, always having some form of security system they can fall back on. Mom, dad, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters. What a different world. What a different element of character. I'll tell you who should have gotten person of the year. Also now, as of today, there's a food emergency in America. I've been filming it, and for those of you who came over to the Tent City yesterday in San Francisco to see what filming the individuals was like, hope that you learned something from that, because you were looking at the new poor. Had you been there, you would have seen a former school teacher who now is on the street living in a tent city. You would have also seen a former firefighter whose pension couldn't cover the cost of maintaining the home and the car and everything else, and too young for Social Security and fell through the cracks. You would have seen a woman with two children, two teenagers, who at one time had lived a very upper middle class existence in Orange County. Now, three of them are living in a tent. Today, We're going north towards the end of the state and then into Oregon and then tomorrow into Washington. Again, focusing on the new poor. Here's the newest report on the new poor, and this is from mainstream. They're finally, GWIZ, recognizing it, though you wouldn't know it from any of the left or the right media, with rare exception. From Chaz Valenza from Op-Ed News, quote, Val Terrer, the radiant and gregarious CEO of the Food Bank of Southern New Jersey, wanted to make one thing perfectly clear in our discussion of hunger in America today. Quote, we do not have starvation here in the United States. In Mali, that's the West African country, about half the population lives on under $1.25 a day. If you live in poverty, you risk starvation and death. That doesn't happen in America. Unquote. Really? Maybe the people that you're filming are not laying on a sidewalk with a bulbous stomach waiting to die. But my God, how insensitive can a human being be? No, we are not in Africa, but trying to compare the hungry in America and the poor in America to those in Africa is rather disingenuous for two reasons. First, because the people in Africa, with the exception of some charitable organizations and churches and Physicians Without Borders, what little meager food they get, and with virtual civil war or multinational corporations taking their land and causing tens of thousands to be moved off at one time fertile land that they could grow crops. Now it's all being commoditized. It's all being privatized. And mainly for countries like China, Japan, that don't have enough food to feed their own population in their own country. Because certainly China is becoming a desert. So they go into Africa, into fertile areas, and they buy vast tracts of land. So the people who have lived there for the millennia are all thrown off. No, we don't have that in the United States. What do we have in the United States? Today we will have 17 million children that will go to bed without adequate nutrition to maintain health. We will see tomorrow or Monday, we will see millions of kids going into schools where they will not be able to focus because they will not have had a breakfast. Because there was no money for breakfast. We have people now who are living on one meal a day. And if you look at much of the food in food banks, especially donated food, it's not healthy. And a lot of people are getting food that, as a registered dietitian, as a nutritionist, as a PhD in nutrition, as a professor of nutrition, I can tell you I wouldn't feed it to a dog. In fact, my dogs eat much better than what I see a lot of these people getting from these food banks. I don't blame the food banks. They're doing the best they can in impossible circumstances. They have to accept what is given to them. But more often than not, it's not the food that you want. The whole grains, the whole legumes, the healthy soups and healthy salads, they're not getting that, with rare exception. Remember, we only think of the poor on Thanksgiving and Christmas, when some celebrities go out and get it. Isn't it interesting so often how many of these celebrities, we see the same celebrities getting their photo ops every year, and you have to wonder how much of that giving is about their own career and their own image versus how much will they do without Christmas or photographer or a photo op on a daily basis, as if somehow the poor aren't poor the other 363 days a year or don't need food. And when you see people living on the streets in that blizzard, stuffed in hallways and stuffing paper in their pants and in their shirts, trying to get into a box, one man that I found who was on 54th Street, and right where there's a construction site, I didn't even see him. He was under an umbrella in a box, and he was about 35 years old. And here we brag about how much money we can spend on gifts that most people don't need and certainly can't afford, and yet we have this going on. So before you say that, gee whiz, we don't have poverty, come with me. You haven't been where I've been. You haven't seen the people I've seen. No one has. Until you've spent 3 years nonstop looking for the poor and finding them in clear view, where people walk by and dismiss them, then you shouldn't state that somehow a homeless person in America shouldn't be concerned because they're not in Africa. It is not a fair comparison. When you look at the face that I've looked at yesterday, and you see someone who's only eaten once in 3 days, and you see someone who has nothing more than the clothes on their back, and you see someone who has a degree from college, worked for 22 years, and trusted in the powers that be, then you have to ask, why aren't we honest in the media about how much we're suffering? Why don't you see the people? Why don't you see Keith Olbermann, Rachel Maddow? Why don't you see the people in the left media bringing this story each and every day as if it mattered, instead of having the supercilious and completely stupid worst person in the world and mocking? Instead of spending some time mocking or focus on Sarah Palin or someone else within the Tea Party, why don't you focus upon what you can do in a constructive way to point out the biggest problem in America today? Poverty, hunger, depression, and the sense of apathy that goes with it. Are we talking about a million? 10 million? No, we're talking about 150 million people, half the American population. So when I read a story like this from the Food Bank of South Jersey, you may be able to help feed some of the people, or most of the people in your area. Please do not speak for the rest of the poor in the United States. You have no right to do so. And unfortunately, they don't have anyone speaking on their behalf. Certainly not in our completely manipulated narcissistic media, left and right. Shame on both. Now for the flu. I'm sure many of you have seen how the CDC is saying, good news, we've matched the flu vaccine with the flu virus, and it's going to be protective. Really? Then why don't you do a little bit of homework? From the BCTV, Vancouver, emergency rooms all over British Columbia are inundated. Why? Here's just one example. 32 people received the flu shot. 30 of them got the flu and a really bad version. So when you have a 95% failure rate, how in the world can you then suggest that the same flu vaccine be given to all of us as if it's protective when there's no science that will show it's protective? Following up on that, we have this from Shadish Kara from Top News US. Quote, anyone who received 5 flu vaccinations between 1970 and 1980 has 1,000% greater likelihood of developing Alzheimer's than had they received just 1 or 2 shots. That's according to Dr. Hugh Funnenberg, MD, the world's leading immunologist. Quote, this is because of the aluminum mercury, which almost every flu vaccine contains. The gradual accumulation of aluminum and mercury in the brain leads to cognitive dysfunction. And so, he says, he does not recommend the flu shot. He added that his flu vaccine contained many toxic chemicals, so they, instead of boosting the immune system, make it weak, thus increasing the chances of getting the flu. He told the vaccine had damaging effects on internal organs, specifically the pancreas, so seasonal flu vaccines could develop in people with severe autoimmune diseases, including diabetes, Addison's disease, arthritis, asthma, and hepatitis, Lou Gehrig's disease, lupus, and more. And some vaccines could even inflict lifetime disability and pain. Dr. Funnenberg, the world's leading immunologist, stated there was a massive campaign for the significance of flu vaccines when it possessed no benefits, and this was because the federal government had contracts worth $400 million with GlaxoSmithKline, and a supply of 50.4 million doses of the H1N1 vaccine, and they needed to get rid of them. Now, the good side of this is from Dr. Michael Smith, MD, and he says the following. You don't want the flu vaccine? All right, what can you do that's natural? And he talks about the number one herbal remedy, Andrographis panacolta. Let me just spell that. A-N-D-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-I-S. Andrographis. graphis, one word. Now, that comes from Southeast Asia, and it's been used for centuries to ease flu symptoms and speed recovery. It is mostly used by naturopathic doctors in the United States, and it's a viable way of helping yourself. And after successfully using andrographis for flu symptoms, a lot of people find that their whole immune system is benefited. Number two, elderberry. Elder, E-L-D-E-R, berry. It has direct viral killing effects. It neutralizes the protein spikes found on the surface of the flu virus. And without these spikes, the virus can't penetrate cell membranes as easily and replicate. Well, elderberry also activates several immune cells like macrophages and T cells. But the proof is in the pudding. In one clinical trial, significant improvement in flu symptoms was observed in 14 of 15 subjects 2 days after starting to use elderberry. And this was a placebo group, so that's good. Now, there's a couple, and elderberry really should take it in liquid form, and that's where it's best. But there's also a few other things. Astragalus, Baptisia, olive leaf extract, oil of oregano. They all help with killing viruses, and they're all good for you. Next up, once again, that Mediterranean diet is slow to age us, and it allows us to live a longer life, especially with our mental state. Quote from Reuters, people who eat and drink like the Greeks may think a little more clearly into old age. The findings add to a handful of evidence that the Mediterranean-style diet may be as good for the brain as it is for the rest of the body. Traditionally associated with consumption of fruits and vegetables and legumes and olive oil and fish and wine, the Mediterranean way of eating has been credited with helping to prevent various ailments, including heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. And this is saying that now it's shown from the University, Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, that it also helps with the brain. So, helping the brain. Now, a lot of you are eating green algae. I happen to know a lot of you are eating green algae because I know the product you're using that has green algae. Here's the latest on this. And this is from Orthodox Medicine's NewsRx.com. Quote, nutritional supplementation with spirulina, a nutrient-rich blue-green algae, appeared to provide neuroprotective support for dying motor neurons in this mouse model of ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. This, according to University of South Florida, neurologists have found this to be the case. In fact, they suggested a spirulina-supplemented diet may provide clinical benefits for ALS patients. And that's good. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal, the Open Tissue Engineering and Regenerative Medicine Journal. So we know that ALS is a degenerative motor neuron disease, and so this protects it. And that's one more reason. Again, that those of you who are using the powders, green powders with the spirulina, are helping your brain. Now, there's another nutrient that rarely gets used in the United States. It does in the Middle East. Sesame seeds. Here's the latest on why sesame seeds are good. This comes from the peer-reviewed journal Arterial Sclerosis, Thrombosis, and Vascular Biology. This was research done at Ohio State University. And here's what it says. Sesamol, that's a oil that's derived from the sesame seeds, has a rich amount of phenolic acids from the lignans, and that helps with atherosclerosis, meaning heart disease, lessening heart disease. Consistent exercise associated with lower risk of colon cancer death. And that's, by the way, a serious illness. This is from the Washington University School of Medicine. Quote, consistent exercise is associated with a lower risk of dying from colon cancer. And this is from the Siteman Cancer Center, University of Washington School of Medicine. And they looked at 150,000 men and women, and those who exercised the most regularly and the most vigorously had the lowest risk of colorectal cancer. And finally, we put up a lot of efforts this year and acted as a clearinghouse and a call to action to stop a lot of government interference in our freedoms of choice. We've been fighting a battle for 10 years, and actually 12 years in Europe, against what is called Codex Alimentarius, where the FDA and the UN organization, which is where Codex originate, wanted to ban the use of all herbs. And they ultimately succeeded. Here's the latest from Mike Adams. Hundreds of herbal products are now outlawed in the UK starting in just a few months. Quote, the global effort to outlaw herbs, vitamins, and supplements is underway. And in just 4 months, hundreds of herbal products will be criminalized in the United Kingdom and across the European Union. It's all part of the European Union directive passed, which erects disproportionate barriers against herbal remedies by requiring them to be licensed before they can be sold. It's called the Traditional Herbal Medical Products Directive. The licensing requires, however, very significant amounts of money for each herb to be tested for everything, and that is simply impossible. They could run millions of dollars per herb. Some people in the USA are still skeptical that this could ever happen in our country, yet it's happening in Europe right now, and the U.S. is not far behind. In just 4 months from now, you will not be able to walk into any health food store, in fact, they'll all be closed, and a pharmacy anywhere and buy an herb that today is legal, historically it's been beneficial, and in 4 months it'll all be illegal. Hence, tens of millions of people who have come to depend upon them as safe, natural, non-invasive forms of preventative care will be forced to pursue pharmaceuticals instead of herbs. And that's the point. By driving these products off the shelves, governments know they will simultaneously herd people into doctors' offices where they will be prescribed medications that benefit the wealthy corporations that keep politicians in office. It may also drive people to acquire herbs from sources that have poor quality control in the black market. So that's what's happening. And again, that was a battle we fought. In that case, we lost. So you won't be able to get skullcap, ashwagandha, coenzyme Q10. You won't be able to get anything over there. And unfortunately, most of the people in Europe were as indifferent as they are in the United States. Oh, but here's one thing we're really good at in the United States, and we can actually look for more of this. 25% of all children in the United States are now on chronic prescription medication. That's not good enough. Your doctor, your nurse, your hospital, your pharmacist, your government regulatory agencies, and of course the big pharma, the foundations they control, the talking heads in the media, Fox News, and all the other major media, they all want that to be much higher. Why? Because the only kid that is of value in America is one that's on meds. Here's the latest. Quote, the rate of prescription drug use among children and teens continues to rise with a new report from Medico Health Solutions stating that at least a quarter of all U.S. children are now regularly taking pharmaceutical drugs. The Wall Street Journal reports that in addition to taking drugs for conditions like attention deficit disorder and asthma, children are now taking drugs for sleeping or statin drugs, even preventatively. And by the way, for this audience, this will be the big year for getting you to believe that to prevent cancer, take chemotherapy. To prevent AIDS, take a toxic drug. To prevent heart disease, take statins. To prevent insomnia, take an anti-sleeping, a pro-sleeping pill medication. So now they want to get you to become proactive with medications. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is in our society. Let's see the next time someone in the major media speaks up against this. In fact, no one in the alternative media has spoken up against it. It's as if left and right, they both are supportive of the drug couldn't be bad or it wouldn't be out there. Oh yeah, most drugs are bad, and they're out there. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Are falling from your Spanish eyes. Please, please don't cry.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. We're going to be taking calls in a moment, but before we do, let me give you two short insights, and then I would like you to respond. My opinion is that the person of the year should have been the United States Supreme Court. Why? A little piece of unnoticed by most people, litigation. It was from Citizens United versus FEC Supreme Court decision. Now, what's important is to understand Citizens United financed a whole lot of effort to try to get a broadcast, a documentary about Hillary Clinton that was not favorable to her, up on some stations, and FEC declared the broadcast illegal under the BCRA, which is the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, and so they, Citizens United, took it to the Supreme Court, and they won. Not only did they win, but this radically right court threw out completely the idea that that we should even have a Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, which means that they now allow corporations to have the same rights as citizens and can contribute to campaigns, which means now that the largest campaigns are going to get their person elected. So a hedge fund, a equity buyout, major banks, Wall Street firms, a government like China can all get money now legally behind a group of candidates that support their positions. And therefore, the people that write the laws that these people want or take away laws and regulations they don't want will now be the normal order of the day. I know of no piece of legislation. I know of no individual or individual action that was so detrimental to our future. This is the single worst thing I have seen against the sanctity of our democracy, because even though we have pretended to have a democracy with these faux elections, when in point of fact, whoever got the most money into the marketplace, bought the most commercials, had the strongest PAC groups, won. Now, it's not about you or I electing a representative. It's about corporations deciding who they want in there and then having unlimited resources to buy candidates. So, your thoughts on that? And it's virtually a non-story now. Next up, here are 16 cities that could face bankruptcy this year. And some of them are rather surprising. And I'll tell you why. San Diego, California. Your deficit through next year, $73 million. Your budget, $2.8 million. You've got a gap there. New York City. Your deficit's at $2 billion. You've got a budget of $63 billion. You've got a big gap. And that gap can range up to $3.6 billion. In effect, New York City's bankrupt. San Jose, California. Cincinnati, Ohio. Honolulu, Ohio, Hawaii. San Francisco, California. Los Angeles. Los Angeles has got a big deficit. It's annualized gap of 4.4%. So they're, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt. Washington, D.C., you're bankrupt. Newark, New Jersey, you're completely screwed. Detroit, Michigan, forget about it. Wrap it up and package it. Reading, Pennsylvania, Joliet, Illinois, Camden, New Jersey, and Hamtramck, Michigan, Central Falls, Rhode Island, Paterson, New Jersey, and Chicago, Illinois. These are cities that are so far in debt and have such an enormous deficit that bankruptcy. Now, I believe that there should be bankruptcy for a simple reason. In bankruptcy, structured properly, both for corporations and for cities, you can eliminate the debt, you can restructure your management, and you can go forward. If you do not do that, then I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. The right's going to use this as a pretense to eliminate pensions and obligations. It will then, even though many of those should be renegotiated, if we're going to suffer, we should not suffer one group disproportionate to another. Also, we should look at how they can get rid of all their obligations, and yet the wealthy will benefit from this. It's called venture capitalism. So those who are poor are going to get poorer. Those who are without jobs are not going to have jobs because of them not allowing them to declare bankruptcy. I also believe the entire European Union, major of the 17 major, you should declare insolvency and forfeit the debt. Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Greece, Italy, France, and the United Kingdom. You're all bankrupt. You're completely bankrupt. There's no way in the world, unless you want to do some monetizing a debt and just print unlimited amounts of money through your European Central Bank, in which case then you'll have hyperinflation similar to the Weimar Republic. But if you do the right thing, and the right thing is to walk away from banks and the people that put you in this position to begin with, let them and their bondholders and let them and their stockholders suffer the loss, so you do not have to gut your school systems, your lunch programs, your social services. Because if you thought that what we just went through in New York City was bad, by having a very slow reacting cleanup crew and diminished resources for any crisis, wait a year from now and 2 years from now, and you're going to have these crises on a regular basis. So bankruptcy, yes. Bailing out the banks, any bank, ever again, no. Let every major corporation that's too big to fail, fail under structural adjustment. We have given out over $16 trillion to the biggest so they didn't fail. And yet we didn't help the people who were responsible for that. That, to me, is just insane. Your call, your thoughts. Our number, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Knoll, and let's go to John from Eugene, Oregon. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just have one simple, straightforward question, and then I'll hang up and listen to your comments. You've been talking quite a bit lately about buying gold and keeping your assets protected using that method. What advice do you have to people who don't have additional liquid assets to put into investments of any type, gold or anything else,
to live
month to month on what they make from a job?
Okay, then here's what you should do. You are looking at about 150 million Americans, one half the population, are in your predicament. You don't have anything except what you were going to pay your bills, then look at what you're doing. Yesterday, on location, a gentleman came over to me. His name is Charles. Charles has a wife and a daughter who's a year and a half. He waited way too long to make the changes. And he said now they are desperate and they're living on $900 a month. I said you could live on as little as $100 a week. He said, how? I gave him suggestions. Don't look at making money. Look at saving what you have by getting rid of everything that you absolutely don't need. I believe that the real estate market is going to go between 20 to 50% down from where it's at now in the next 2 years. I believe that the dollar will actually get stronger in the short term as people are fleeing the European Union's currency, knowing that it's on deathbed. And they're looking at the emerging market currencies, such as Brazil and the BRIC nations and Southeast Asia and South Korea. Those are going to continue to boom at 4 to 10% per year. But unfortunately, that doesn't help American because they're taking our jobs. If you work in any industry in the United States where that work could be done in another country, there's going to be a high probability in the next 5 years that 20% of the entire workforce in the United States, the actual people that work, manufacture things, will be exported to other countries. So there's three things we should do immediately. First, develop groups of individuals to demand no more outsourcing of jobs in the United States. None. No more outsourcing of anything. If you outsource, you vote against the people unless they're actively pushing back against that. So that's the first thing I would do. So let them know that you're watching what they're doing. Because right now, Republicans and Democrats alike have aligned themselves with special interest groups that don't care if the jobs are being outsourced, but you should. Secondly, get rid of any assets you have and hold on to enough cash to survive. And then look at what you don't need. Get rid of credit cards. You got to get out of the credit card loop. You've got to get out of the mortgage loop. And if you need to, file bankruptcy. If your liabilities are greater than your assets, file bankruptcy. Don't worry about your credit, because credit doesn't matter. Because the people who've had good credit in the past now are having a hard time getting anything because of it. It was all really smoke and mirrors. You need to be around people where there's an extended community. Be around people that when you can do things together, share common skills, develop other skills, learn some traits and qualities you do not now possess that are most likely to be used in the future. Medicine's going to be a big thing. There'll be 8 industries that'll boom. All the alternative technologies will have a really big day ahead of them. So will medicine, but unfortunately that's, you know, for nurses and everyone involved in medicine, it'll be good. Financing will be spectacular. The farming, mega farming, and genetic engineering will be the dominant feature. We'll be out of organic farming in the next 5 years because of all the politicians having sold their souls, including this president. That's assuming there was one to sell, and I don't believe there is. I believe these people are making completely non-spiritual choices and always appeasing the people who would have exploited them and saying, oh, we're sorry. No, they're not sorry. No one's sorry for what they're doing to us. So you have to work with other people at the local level. And look at the environment in which you live. A lot of environments are going to be hit over and over and over again by environmental factors. We're putting no effort. We have no resources left in the United States to really do something good about environmental degradation and stopping pollution and stopping the waste of use of all the plastics and the saran wraps and everything else. So start to look at how you can go green and how you can go into a quality of life without having to spend the money to get it. Look at all the things that are for free. Look at the things you can do with your friends and family that don't cost you a lot of money. Because a lot of times we forget, when you live in New York City and every restaurant's full and all the clothing stores is full and the big cars are going down the street, you forget there's any place else in America that might be suffering. When you're in L.A. and you're in Chicago and you're in South Beach and you're in these in San Francisco, you don't know that there's a problem in America because you don't see it. But go out to where 90% of the rest of the country live and there's a big hurt. So align yourself with where you ideally should be, and don't wait until you have systems that collapse or where you're not only low on money, but you're also living now in a neighborhood that is going to be rampant with crime. And I see one of the biggest problems coming this year and next year are how many teenagers are going to be going into gangs. Because when you're poor and you're uneducated, you're vulnerable, no matter what your color or race. You're vulnerable to the peer pressure of joining a gang, because the gang gives you money, the gang will buy your family food, the gang gives you a standing so you feel protected, but you have to do the gang's work. We're going to see probably 5 million members of gangs in the next 5 years in the United States. I figure we'll have about almost 750,000 new people, and it's all young people. So we're not even looking at these problems. So the real problems we don't face. The ones that are not going to be major, we're talking about and doing nothing about. Hope that answers your question. Let's say hello to Kara Lee, who's in the studio. Hi, Kara.
Hey, Gary. I just wanted to read this really nice email that you got sent to you. It's pretty much from this woman. She says, in August of 2008, my husband, Kenneth, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. When he received this diagnosis, I, as his wife, tried to put on the front of calm, but I was truly scared. I had just had a baby 6 months prior, and the news completely freaked me out. The original neurologist had diagnosed Ken, wanted us to go to a facility upstate that specialized on care for MS patients, but that same week, I'd been listening to one of your shows on the radio. On the show, you talked about how you never turned down the opportunity to help a sick person. You said that if you received an email from somebody ill, you would get back to them with a protocol and recommended doctors that are experts in their field. She knew that conventional medicine can do for MS patients is extremely limited and it takes serious side effects. So I told my husband about your work and asked him to email you and listen to your show. Ken knew that I listened to the show and decided to see what was up with all of this holistic stuff. That's what she said. God he contacted you. He said that he received a reply within a week, and it sent him on a life-changing track. As with many of your other patients, Ken has had his diagnosis completely reversed. This sounds great, but I just want everyone to know that the benefits we have as a family go way beyond anything that she could have ever imagined. As a result of his new lifestyle, she began to take on many of the changes that Ken did as well. She figured that if she could imagine it for him, what could stop it from helping her and helping her baby? She said she was always pretty healthy and enjoyed running, and she thought that was enough. But now she's learned what's truly necessary to being healthy. With the help of Dr. Feldman, who will be joining us shortly on the show, and Dr. Roberts and Luann Panessi, she has rid her body completely of allergies and viruses that plagued her ever since her childhood. She says the other part of going through your change is that they stop living a financial lie. She said initially they had thousands of dollars out in loans, when he realized that he had this and he could get physically better, he started taking care of it. And he started telling her about the loans and things that they were paying off. And through your help, she said that they were able to pay everything off. They didn't have to file for bankruptcy. And she realized her true self, and the notion of truly growing and evolving means that you have to completely change your previous held belief systems. She says, overall, I just want to thank you and everyone who's involved with it, everyone who's truly doing God's work every day. Thank you for all your help, research, and information. You are truly making a difference in millions of people's lives every day. And that is from an Elizabeth, and she doesn't say where she's from.
That's nice. Glad to hear that. What else?
Well, another little announcement I wanted to make is that yesterday we made a special on the air, and we got such a response it actually crashed our phone system. So I've gotten a lot of emails today from people who were saying, you know, I tried to call in and it didn't work, and is there any way I can still receive this offer?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We had never experienced anything like that before. Thousands of people called all at once, and our system went down for the whole day. I couldn't call in from out in the road. Yeah, they can, sure. They can call in at whatever the number is. I don't have the number.
You can call in at 877-627-5065. Again, that number is 877-627-5065.
Right. And don't forget, Sunday night I'm going to be doing a whole hour on calls. And I will take another call before we go to Dr. Feldman, who's standing by. And you can call if you'd like to share your thoughts at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And if we have someone on, be happy to go to them. I was just told Jason from Connecticut hung up. When you call in, please hold on. I'm happy to get to you. I'm going to deal with the Hunger Game. That's a commentary. And I have three separate commentaries, including a commentary you're going to find a lot of fun, the State of the Spirit from Rabbi Michael Lerner. That'll be on Sunday night. Also, the New York Times wrote what I consider one of the most lame editorials yesterday about Shanghai schools and how it approach pushes students to top of test, somehow making it seem as if all of our American kids are brighter than these Chinese. To me, it was very racist, and I will give you a commentary on that about our own arrogance, and also a commentary, dude, where's my job? That'll be on Sunday night. So got a lot of interesting commentaries to start the new year off, plus a great lineup next week. Now, if you call back, I'll get to you. But in the interim, let's go over and say hello. By the way, Carol Lee, is Carol Lee still in studio?
Yep, still here, Gary.
Carol Lee, I just want to acknowledge all the people who really did a phenomenal job this year by contacting their legislators, contacting at the state level, at the federal level, of writing letters. There was a Pam Constantine who wrote 17 or so letters in one day challenging the Senate Bill 510. It's estimated that 6 million of us, 6 million, said we didn't want this food safety bill. We lost this battle. The genetic engineering giants that have controlled the Clinton White House and the Bush and the Obama White House, they won for now. There will be further battles, but we have won some battles this year. and we stopped mandatory vaccine with the H1N1. We've done a lot. We can't win all of them, but at least we're aware, and more people are aware. So for all of you who contacted your legislators, wrote the letters, sent the emails, all of you who sent really important film footage and stories to my Facebook page, and I want to thank you. The vast majority of information coming in there, which I have a chance to look at once a day and address what I can, even though I'm on the road, it's appreciated. And so we are growing. We have millions, millions of us around the world working together. And so I see this coalescing into a positive movement for social change over the next several years. But don't be frustrated by the losses we'll be sustaining. We're going to take a lot of bad in the next 24 months. In fact, on one level, it has to really get much worse before you wake up the average American. A lot of you are alive and aware and proactive on all levels, but not everyone. And so there'll be a time when the paradigm shifts. So stay positive and stay focused. And I want to thank all the people for listening in. Carolee, we've had a really good response.
We have. I mean, definitely this year we've seen a lot of things that have greatly improved. You know, just the fact that we've gotten such a response, positive response from the Progressive Radio Network. You know, we're going up there and putting up articles every day, always getting a response from people. Now we have, not only does Gary have a Facebook, but PRN has a Facebook, and we have great discussions on both. You know, all of our shows are archived and podcast for everyone's availability. And, you know, through all of this effort, you know, we are now the number one search term on Google. So I think, you know, you can just really see how all of this has impacted to make positive change. And I'm definitely excited for the new year and to continue making improvements.
It is. I mean, I just got the number sent to me this morning. We're talking about tens of millions. These are no small. Boy, oh boy, when you see the numbers of people who are connecting and sharing, that's why I'm very optimistic about the future. Because we have never had this amount of people sharing under the radar. They're sharing over the internet and the iTunes and the Facebook. They're not. You don't see any of this represented in the mainstream media. So that's good. So I want to thank all of you for that. Let's go over and say hello to Dr. Martin Feldman. Dr. Feldman is a board-certified neurologist, qualified in psychiatry, and he's holistic 100%. And he's been the medical supervisor on about 45 of our clinical studies. Currently, one we're doing in Newark, New Jersey, in a school system, one in New York on healing the brain naturally. And he's doing a series each week called Dispelling Medical Myths. And he's with us today to dispel some. Marty?
Hi, Gary. Very good so far. Very interesting program. The new year's coming right upon us. So in regard to that, for the year 2011, I've picked out the five major health areas whereby conventional medicine fails, whereby your audience has to empower themselves because the system does not really deal with some of these issues properly. They have mythological paradigms, and we got to go around them. We've got to go directly to the public, and we got to go directly to some of these issues whereby the public has to take their own hand in correcting their own problems. First off would be the whole issue of obesity. Physicians know a little bit about calories, a little bit about exercise, and they have a limited view of obesity because there's many millions of people who, despite low calorie and despite high exercise, may still not lose weight efficiently. There are two major aspects of that which go undiagnosed, which are part of the mythology. And one would be the whole issue of food allergy. Food allergy is very complex because the basic blood work that many physicians will use for food allergy, called IgE, RAST, is not very good for food allergy because that's only for type 1 food allergy, and we have many, many other food allergies. I'm going to list the other four, and then we'll go back. So the next would be optimize your energy. Next would be digestive absorption issues. Next would be to optimize your immune. Next would be to control your environment. So we have five major, major medical myths here to deal with. Going back now, the obesity, we got the idea, optimize energy. Conventional medicine will consider energy only when it gets low enough that they will give the mistaken diagnosis of depression, and it can be just low energy. But they don't have any, they don't have a paradigm to deal with low energy. If you have Addison's disease, that's breakdown of the adrenal so much that you're really, really very, very sick. And that they understand. But otherwise, optimized energy, not part of the system. What are we going to do? got to consider B complex, very, very simple, friendly, inexpensive, commonly low with people who have low energy, but not part of the paradigm yet. B12 is part of the paradigm, yes. They'll even give you injection, but you don't need injection so much. You can often, most of the time, lozenges under your tongue, dissolve the B12 in that fashion, does the job. Low adrenal is a major issue around the whole world, and some of the aspects of that would be if you're very tired in the morning, sleep well 7-8 hours, you wake up, you're tired in the morning, commonly that's adrenal issue, and or if you need to have caffeine to get going in the morning, that could be adrenal issue. The glucose thermostat, which may be part of your control over glucose level, which feeds the brain and therefore your energy, that can be defective or we'll call it out of balance. Chromium and zinc would be a start to fix that. Next major of the five would be digestive absorption issues, whereby if you have a true disease, such as a tumor in your stomach or a big ulcer in your stomach or severe bleeding or something on colonoscopy or endoscopy, that the system works very, very well on major breakdown disease. But the whole issue of optimizing absorption is not part of the paradigm as we speak. It's very, very simple. We have very good, inexpensive vegetarian pancreatic enzymes, which you can buy over-the-counter, and it could be a therapeutic trial. If you have any digestive symptoms whereby we suspect that you're not absorbing efficiently, we'll therefore try this simple trial of using the vegetarian enzymes, see what happens. If you get better, then you've done a lot of good work. It goes well beyond that, but for right now, I just want to deal with the fundamentals. Next of the five is optimizing the immune system. And the conventional system has no concept of a natural way to optimize immune. Again, they'll be very good if you have immune, tremendous breakdown of your immune, get really, really either autoimmune problems such as Hashimoto's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, uveitis, many other that are antibody-related, that they're good at. But to optimize anybody's immune in general, they fail. And just a few of the ideas for that, you mentioned andrographis earlier in the program, a marvelous way to help immune. Just a simple outline for the moment, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, vitamin E, selenium, omega-3, and GLA. Plus, there are many, many herbs beyond andrographis. Echinacea is one. There are many, many others. As we go through the next year, we'll go into depth on these five on subsequent programs. We're just giving you the basic outline. Next would be control your environment. And that's not taught in medical school. It's not part of this thinking. There are occupational clinics, a few around, very, very, very few. They will deal with the occupation and the environment. But the traditional physician, no matter what specialty, has no real interest or no real knowledge about environmental issues and especially how they impact on your health. And it's very, very simple. The environment is controllable in your house, at least. Humidifier in the winter to get a proper humidification of the air. HEPA level. Air purifier essential for most people because eventually you get too much dust in your house or if you have any molds. You got to clear it out, otherwise you have major, major immune and other problems. The next is water problems. You need to have special filters for special fluoride and regular water. And last in your environment would be cell phone problems, whereby there are many, many problems of cell phone transmission, especially if you're putting the cell phone to your ear. And there are ways to reduce that. We'll call it Texas. It's electronic.
You got another minute to go, Marty.
Okay. So let's just say these five we'll deal with, especially in great depth as we go along. But right now you got five to think about to deal with for 2011 to empower yourself.
Okay, Marty Feldman. Thank you very much. If anyone wants more information from Marty, they can reach out to him at 212-744-4413. I'm looking here, and we're coming up to the end of our program. We have a minute and 20 seconds left. On Sunday evening, I will be looking back at the last year, and I will highlight all of the efforts made by the independent and progressive movements in the United States. And there's so many good things that have been done, they just don't make the mainstream media. But they're relevant. Also, I'll be looking ahead. I'll be taking calls throughout the entire hour. There'll be no guests on Sunday evening, just commentary and call some people in the audience. And beginning next week, I will set 15 minutes aside each day to do a classroom on the air about health and healing, in addition to the information on health and nutrition and the environment, plus information for my guests, unless it's a conversation with Remarkable Mind, and then we will leave at least 10 to 15 minutes for calls from people in the audience. That's our lineup for the new year. The most on health and healing, on the environment, on issues impacting all of us each day that are not being addressed properly or objectively or honestly by the mainstream media or the alternative media, and empowering issues so you can take something away from each and every program that you can use in a constructive way. We're out of time. Thank you all. Look forward to sharing more on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. Have a nice day.
Is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Carol Lee.